Union Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And I am Deborah Deal.
Yeah, and we're excited to come to you today to talk about construction and things that are not related to construction, but mostly today. I want to start off the show today by being very excited that we are almost 2 weeks out from our first Q1.
Right.
Mix and Mingle.
April the 17th.
The 17th at the Nassau Yacht Club.
Yes.
We had a fantastic time there last year. We have scores and scores and scores of people reaching out to us, trying to figure out where to access tickets for the event. And so we're going to do that right now. You could obtain tickets two ways. You could call 356-8850, speak to Donna, and she will direct you and help you get your tickets sorted out. Or you could go on our website, www.bayhamancontractors.org. And right on the top page, it have events. Click on events, mix and mingle, RSVP, purchase tickets right on the website.
There
we made
go.
It easy for you. Mm-hmm. It's only $50. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, $50, open bar, you can't beat that on a Friday night. I'll tell you right now. Open bar anywhere is an amazing thing.
And munchies.
Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you got drinks, you got food, and we have bar sponsors. And let's talk about the bar sponsors a bit.
Right.
So you have an open bar from the every time is 6:30 till
6:30 to 9:30. Right.
9:30. No, 6:30.
Oh, the open bar is 6:30 to 8:30.
So that's 2 hours open bar. And guess what? With 150 people there, the liquor's more than likely gonna run out. However, we have bar sponsors now. So we had wonderful bar sponsors that decided, let's continue the party, extend the party as long as we can. So Debbie's going to tell us the name of one of our bar sponsors.
Right. We have Closets Etc. has sponsored it for an hour.
Yeah.
And then we have one other company.
We have
Superior Walls.
Superior Walls has agreed to sponsor the bar for an hour.
Yes, they were a guest at our last luncheon.
Yes, and doing a fantastic presentation
on such a good
the wall system that they're using at Windsor Lakes development.
It
very,
was,
very impressive.
It was I was very impressed. Yeah. Very impressed.
So I wanna reiterate that this is gonna be a fantastic event. Industry is really excited to be a part of it. Come out, mix and mingle, see the persons on this show, see the other board members. And most importantly, I was going through the photos, Debbie, and I looked at faces that I haven't seen in years.
Years, I know.
There are persons, I've seen you, I haven't seen you for 2025, and
I
now
know.
You're at the mix and mingle, and it was really, really
Thomas
good to catch
Whitehead
up.
Thomas Whitehead came at the last one at the Yacht Club,
I hadn't
seen
Thomas
him
probably
in
about 4 years.
Well, probably 20 for me.
But I hadn't seen him at least four.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. It's a really, really good friends of mine who were doing projects on the other end of the island. They came through. I had some high school friends who were in construction. They were there. It was really a good mix of people across the landscape of construction. My friends who are architects, they were there. the engineers. You know what? If we had a snapshot of everyone in the room, we could build anything. We had everyone there. We had engineers, realtors, architects, developers, contractors. I mean, we had the whole insurance profession. We had everyone
Everybody there.
And we had the policymakers. I know Minister Zane Lightborn is a frequenter of our events. He was there. And we certainly appreciate his presence at these events.
And Pia Glover-Roll.
She was at our last event. So, you know, they know what a spot to see all the people in the construction industry. It's at our mix and mingle.
And you know what's so fun about it is that, well, first of all, you know me. Yeah. We're not sitting down.
No, we're not sitting down.
So I have the Yacht Club take away all the tables and all the chairs.
We are walking and talking.
We are walking and talking because otherwise what would happen is five or six people would sit at a table and they would not be mixing and mingling at all. So you have to mix and mingle.
You have to mix and mingle.
And most people tend to mix and mingle around the bar.
Yeah.
And then they go.
That was the congregation of people.
Yeah.
But
and then they go over to the DJ because they want to play certain songs.
Yeah.
And then they have, you know, we have the board up there with all of our sponsors and
everything. And they take photos of the media wall. Yeah. And they love that.
And then, of course, some people like to stay where everybody comes in and gets their tickets.
Yeah.
Because that way you're seeing who's coming in when they come in. I mean, it was very exciting. It was really, really fun.
And then we had a ton of prizes, too. The prizes were fantastic. And we had interesting questions that people needed to answer to get the prizes. We also had, were we giving prizes also? We hid prizes on the table, too. We did a little bit of that. So we had a good mix of fun and activities in order to give the prizes away. So I thought it was an overwhelming, fantastic
event.
And
if we do a raffle.
Yeah.
Bring your business card.
Bring your business card for the bowl.
You cannot go enter into the raffle with buying a ticket.
No,
your business card.
Drop your business card in the bowl, and that's our raffle.
That's the raffle.
Yeah.
That way we are able to keep in touch with you and let you know other things that we're doing. I checked on Veritas's schedule.
Yeah.
It looks like September is the month where our construction courses again.
And offered again,
Yes, so there's so many things that we actually do.
Now, on that point, one of the companies, and I need to make mention of this, one of the companies that showed up to our Mix and Mingle, that was our first one, at the Warwick, fantastic time there too, was one of our sponsors now that was Simplified Lending Group.
Oh.
Yeah, they showed up at that event. Their president and CEO was there. And he really, really made a presence, talked to a lot of persons there. And I believe that these are the kind of events where you meet people that you didn't know, and you connect, and you find ways to do business in the future with them. And I know for sure that they do have some interesting products and service, but I think a representative of the company is going to be in the show next week to talk more about the products that they have for larger consumers like the construction community.
Right. And also, Yuk Lau from the
Ministry of Public Works. Yeah.
His daughter and my daughter went to school together in Trinidad.
Wow, that's interesting.
Veterinary medicine.
And you hardly see Yuk Lau outside of the Ministry of Public Works.
I know. That was
shocking that
he was with his wife and they were having fun. It was great.
If you're in the construction space and you have to go to the Ministry of Works and see the chief engineer, that's Mr. Yuk Lau. If you do not know, you don't know construction enough inside our country. Obviously, we're talking about people we interface with and doing construction, especially with the Ministry of Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
And we had representative from the Ministry of Public Works there. Mm-hmm. We had some engineers and we had some electricians, I know, some inspectors. Everyone was there.
Yeah.
I only hope that we have enough space. So I'm going to tell everyone right now, you want to get there on time. You want to make sure you find a space because it's going to be packed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to air it out right now.
Yeah.
Now, secondly, construction is interesting because one part of it that we don't appreciate enough of is just the technical side. Now, I see Texter. I got this question. I'm going to come to that in 2 seconds. We look at the craftsman side, but we don't focus enough on the finance side.
Yes, like for persons who don't know how to do quotes properly or who don't know how to do pay schedules properly to make sure that they can actually go from stage to stage and finish the job and all of that kind of stuff.
Construction today, when I say today, I'm talking about 2026 and going forward.
And not taking your window and door payment and going and buying a truck.
No. Please, God, don't do that. construction is evolving. evolved into the craftsman now has to be a businessman.
You have to be.
And that's
you got to be that first before you can really be a contractor if you want to actually survive.
And this is where the relationship of construction and the other players in the marketplace matter. Like you and I talk about all the time. We have friends who are insurance professionals. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to have insurance.
Yes.
It's a part of our business mm-hmm. to ensure that we limit our risk exposure.
Right.
In our construction businesses, my contracts are vetted by my attorney friend of mine mm-hmm. to make sure that I'm reviewing something that doesn't have onerous things in there that could expose me
right.
personally to liability, but mm-hmm. I have a limited liability company, so that hedges my exposure a bit.
Right.
But these are the things that the Contractors Association share with the membership. That's why attending their luncheon is important, because you don't know who's going to attend and make a presentation that could help you. One of the presenters, and I'm going to call his name on the show because he's a good friend of my wife, and Mr. Smith. I don't know Mr. Smith's first name, but he's doing a presentation for the Contractors Association. And Debbie, guess what he's going to do a presentation on? Moving your business from being trading as to limited incorporated company. And well, why that is important.
Well, we were a limited company for many, many years, and it many, got many almost years. Impossible to get in touch with our lawyer, who would just happen to be
the filings and all that stuff. Yeah.
The person that young woman hit.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Anyway, so crazy. it was too much to have your paperwork in mm-hmm. by a certain time, mm-hmm. and then you've got
it's a lot of filing.
There's a lot that has to be done, and I finally just gave up. I just finally said, I'm doing trading as I can't do it anymore.
No, I understand, and let's be honest, it's simple and easier,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things that a limited liability company does is it caps and limits your exposure.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, I only do business exclusively in my limited liability company.
Mm-hmm.
When I sign a contract, you will not see my name on it. Mm-hmm. You will see the name of my company, mm-hmm. my company seal, and I sign mm-hmm. as the director of that company. Mm-hmm. My name is not on that.
It's totally disassociated.
I am an employee of mm-hmm. the company.
Right.
But the company has insurance that mm-hmm. shoulders the risk. And if something adverse were to happen, the company
would be liable.
Would be liable.
Yes.
Not me personally. And right. I think, I know, and you talked about before experiences you've had, and we have many friends who are in construction where all of a sudden you have a bad situation, and now they're coming after Derry Deal and your assets.
Right.
And you're coming after Frank Burrows and his assets.
Right.
You want to keep your exposure.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
You know,
I totally agree.
Protect it.
Yeah.
And that's so Mr. Smith is going to do a presentation at our luncheon after in April. So after our mix and mingle.
The 29th.
Yeah, after mm-hmm. our mix and mingle
mm-hmm.
on the importance for contractors.
Mm-hmm.
The importance for contractors to transition. And we know it's going to be a path
mm-hmm.
to transition from trading as
mm-hmm.
to what they say in the States. LLC,
right.
which is a limited liability
so
company.
Basically, you just have to know that it's going to probably cost you,
$1,500,
maybe $2,000 a year to actually do that.
Yeah.
You know.
And
but at the end of the day,
that's the cost of doing business, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Now, and I wanted to air this out because I wish I could pull it up right now. So I'm doing my VAT. I'm paying all my stuff. And I'm looking at the VAT tax and the VAT was not the big challenge, but it's the business license fee. So the business license fee for 2026, assess your business license too for 2026. And then it gave me a projected. Then it gave me an assessment for the year ahead that's due this year for 2026. So you have to pay the business license fee twice in January. Which genius thought that was going to help businesses? Because that doesn't help businesses.
It's not what they're trying to do. The government's trying to collect money from the next year. It's like that pile of dominoes that one day when they all fall, the whole thing falls. And what if we have another Dorian? What if we have a Dorian? And then all of a sudden you speculated that you're going to do $10 million, and all of a sudden you do $500,000 because the industry's kaput.
And you paid on it.
And you paid on it.
And here's the thing what I don't like about it. I'm telling people, I speak to a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not hearing Leonard Sands talking. You're hearing the president of the Contractors Association talking. And I want the public to understand the scale of this. So Debbie and I may be doing $500,000 a year, $1 million a year in turnover, right? There are companies that do $400 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's do the business license fee assessment on $400,000, maybe $250,000 as a fee.
Wow.
Now, pay that twice in January.
Wow.
$500,000 is coming out of your company in January before you had the first contract. Bring it down to a smaller company. I'm a landscaping company, but I just do over $100,000. So you're in that space where you're paying assess on your turnover, right? And now you're paying twice, and you're only going from job to job. You had an okay year, but you didn't accrue a lot of money, and you're probably sitting on with $2,000 in the bank. And now your business license fee is $1,000. Okay, that's okay. But you have to pay $1,000 twice. That's your whole $2,000. You can't put even fuel inside your vehicle. I'm saying all this to say, this election is coming up on 12th, right? And I want the policymakers to do a better job in considering the businesses who pay the tax. The public can't appreciate it as much, Debbie, because they don't, outside of consumption, of buying food and you have to pay VAT, the public generally doesn't have the tax that businesses bear. Let me finally say this on the tax as well. And I said this in 2014, so I'm going back. When we all sat in the room talking about VAT, and we said that VAT is interesting for construction, because if I have a guy who's working for me and he's hanging a door, and if I charge VAT on the materials, I didn't charge VAT on his labor. We think about a service, but the labor is not a service. Employee.
Well, unless you're subcontracting him.
Then it becomes a service.
Right.
But he's an employee.
Oh.
I didn't collect VAT on him.
Right.
I'm paying out VAT on him because the VAT tax is a straight across tax, 10%. On goods and services, but they consider it a service. It's not a service.
You can't charge it to anybody.
No, you can't charge it to anyone. That's another thing. There's a gap in there somewhere. We try to talk about this. Secondly, I said this in 2014, and I want the public to hear me because I am being very honest about what our opposition towards things. You can't. And accountants agree, and I talked to accountants before we come on the show about this. Shelley's one of them. How do you pay VAT on a customs duty? Customs duty is a tax.
I know, you're paying tax on a tax.
You can't, not say can't, because we do, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to pay tax on
a tax.
You're double taxing someone.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bring in my goods and I see duties XYZ, VAT on duties, I'm like, what am I reading here? What is this? What is this line? And the public need to look at that and say, okay, policymakers, we could fix this because that's not necessary. Granted, I get you. You're making $1 billion a year plus on VAT, and we all use it, and we're not telling the tax department getting the money. But you're double taxing. Accounting-wise, that's incorrect.
And how could you possibly expect persons like us to actually build for less money when all of these things that no one else knows about, we have to pay?
Let me ask you a quick question, Debbie. What is the cost of concrete block right now?
I have no idea. I think $287 or something like that.
It was $267 in August 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It is $306.
Oh, I was out by about 30 cents, but wow, that's a lot of money.
You see that movement?
Mm-hmm.
So it's another thing where I often tell people, they say,
especially when you do a quote. Even if you do a quote and it says only good for 30 days, and they say, well, we'll take you before 30 days, but the prices jump up, like today with the diesel and your gas.
And your gas.
You know.
One 20 gallons,
if it's $2 different, that's an extra $40 for your tank of gas that you cannot charge anybody because you've already started the job.
The job. And this is the conversations about construction that we have to have on the airwaves so the public don't always look at the contractor with a jaundiced eye. These are real scenarios that happen. And I told me before, I got caught up in doing a job during post-COVID, right? Post-COVID, but the procurement delays that happened globally.
Oh, yeah, it was a hot mess.
Okay, now, here's what that meant. I got a quote from our good friend Robin from Trusco, who's one of our sponsors as well for our Mix and Mingle. Mm-hmm. Forget to mention that. And her quote, for example, was $10,000 for Ruth's Trust. She gave that in January. The whole pandemic and all that stuff, hit global stranglehold on procurement in March. Now we're up to the point where we need to put on the Ruth's Trust. Okay, here's my $10,000. She said, Leonard, I got to be very, very honest with you. That's not $10,000 anymore. That's $15,800. I'm like, how's it? I have a quote from $15,800. Yeah, yeah. When I quoted it, it was $10,000. It's good for 30 days because we told you, you know what happens in the global market. We buy wood from the world. Wood went up 40%. Mm-hmm. Now that quote is $15,000-something. You know what I had to do? I had to pay the $15,000-something. Non-recoverable.
Not at all.
Non-recoverable. So even today, and this is why I like to say things for the public to hear and write it down. Block is $3.06 per block, 8-inch block. If you're still using $2.67, please throw that estimate away. Blocks are $3. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking about 1,000 blocks. That was $2,670. 1,000 blocks is now
$3,000
and change.
Yeah.
That's a difference
so
of some 500.
So whenever I do a quote, I know you have a I know you have a spreadsheet, yeah. And yours all priced out and everything. But I call every single time.
And
I don't care if it's sheetrock. I'm going to call and ask again.
How much is
because
price is sheetrock?
January I did a quote for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 weeks later, they said, "Yeah, let go ahead." I didn't even think of asking.
Checking the number.
I just called and said, "Listen, I need 20 sheetrock, and I need these studs, and I need these tracks, and all this kind of stuff." And then I'm
looking at the invoice,
and then I'm thinking. What? Well, the sheetrock had gone from like 19 to like 29. The metal studs had gone up to 19, and the metal tracks had gone up to 19. That's 50% more.
No, that's 100% more from 9 to 19. That's 100% more. You double. 99 is 18.
Well, yeah,
that's 100%
I guess
more.
So.
That's 100% more. Where would you have anticipated a 100% price increase?
And I can't go
where
back to the client and say... This is what I just have to try to figure out what can I do. Well, this is I just lose on this one. You know, there's no way of making any money. I will honor my commitment because that's my personality. I will do that. But at this, that you just have to just suck up and deal with it.
And then when you lose on this one, now let's roll it into the conversation.
Well, you could keep losing, and all of a sudden you're out of business.
Yes, but now you're losing on it. On top of that, and the government still wants their money because it's based on turnover, not profit.
Yeah.
So you could lose money all year. You could be, your bank account could be in the negative. And guess what the government of Bahamas still wants?
They want some of that negative
money.
They
still assessing you. Now, for 2026, it's killing me. There are people who have negative dollars. You can't, right? But you got no money in your bank account.
Yeah.
Your company did $200,000 worth of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a crappy year. And you lost money. And the business license department still wants a business license on the $200,000, and guess what?
Uh-huh.
The year ahead, business license on the $200,000. So they got to take out a loan to pay the business license.
So then in January, you've already paid for that. So then what are they going to do? Make you pay for the next 2 years, like maybe like 27
no,
and 28?
They make
or what?
You pay for 2020. So you're paying for 2026, right? And then they want you to pay for 2026 year. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for the year almost twice.
So in 2025, you told them how much you'd make in 2026.
Yes, and you paid that.
Right. And then in 2027.
2026, January, they want you pay for the year ahead.
Right. But you'd be paying for 2027 because you've already paid for 2026 and 2028.
But you're paying for the assessed. Remember now how business license works. Business license is applied for in January.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying business license in January for 2026 on 2025's year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also now paying January 2026 for the year forward. So you're paying for 2025 and 2026 now.
And then if you don't get a single job, let's say...
You would have paid her money she don't earn.
Let's say you get in an accident, you can't work. Let's say
or let's
a
just
million
say
things could
things
happen.
Things didn't happen right in your business and you
million
didn't work for you.
Things. And what are you going to do when you go bankrupt? Are you going to go back to the government and ask them for your money back because you weren't able to work that year? They're going to look and laugh.
I'm going to get answers. So, Texter, let me answer your text. The question was, how far apart should the 1x4 furring strips be that holds the sheetrock for the ceiling? Debbie, I'm going to let you answer this question.
I would say 22 inches, but I do it less than that. I do like 18.
I use 16 inches on center.
Yeah.
22 is okay, acceptable. Mm-hmm. 18 is probably the sweet spot. You know why? Because it divides your sheetrock in four.
That's why I try to divide it into three, you know. But still, again, sheetrock is so stinking
inches,
heavy.
Then it divides in four.
Right. Sheetrock is so stinking heavy that you don't want to chintz out on something like that because you don't want it to fall down, even though you might use a gun, screws, or whatever.
Back in the day.
It's still heavy.
We used to do 24 inches on center.
I remember back in the day. I do remember
But we recognize that sheetrock gets, I swear, sheetrock is heavier these days than it was 20 years ago.
Well, you know, guess
it's
what?
It's not lighter.
We're not as young as we used
to. Yeah. So the spacing, so Dexter, the spacing you want generally.
16
the best. 16 is the best. You could go to 18 or 22. I wouldn't put it on 24, even though it is commonly used sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think over time, Debbie, the weight on the screws over time, just gravity. Gravity is always pulling things down.
Yeah.
That screw head.
And if you're not using stainless steel, they're going to rust.
It's going to rust and all that. So,
yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's just crazy.
So thank you. Thank you, Dexter. And you could ask any more questions. And for listening audience, we don't get you involved in this early.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Numbers you could call into the show at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And from the Family Islands, you could call in 300-5720. And, of course, from the BTC-powered text line, 44796.
One of our other sponsors for the Mix and Mingle is the Paint Place.
Yeah. I forgot to mention the Paint Place.
And condolences to the family of Mike Mora.
Mike Mora. Yeah.
Senior, yes. Yeah.
But
very
thank
sad.
You, Paint Place, for being a very faithful sponsor of our events. And thank you, Christine, as a faithful board member of the BCA. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch a little bit about how the dynamics now of construction, hurricane season, election. There's a lot of things going on in the construction world, you know. People think every day is going to work the same for us. It's not the same every day.
No. I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Because you had posted a thing on Facebook about the glass window bridge, right?
$400,000. Preliminaries.
And I made a comment to you, but I guess... So when I reread it, it reread like that maybe they signed a contract for $400,000 mobilization.
Mm.
So would they have another contract for the balance of it? Is this maybe a contract that's only for $400,000 because if they don't get the money to finish off, they at least they're not going to get entangled in a $90 million?
What I suspect, and this is just a little bit of and Shelley can speak to this, for your numbers, just for the books. Right? If I have a $10 million job, I've already contracted with Debbie for $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But Debbie, I have a budget coming up after election, which is, when is the budget in?
Well, they talk about in June and beginning of July.
And July gets approved and go to Parliament in July. So you have money to spend in July.
Mm-hmm.
I can't commit $90 million that hits my books. It looks terrible from my financial aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So tell you what, I'm going to take a part of it in this budget cycle, and write the contract based on that. You have the contract for the whole thing.
But
I only want to just give you this part.
But what if that party doesn't get in? Then what happens to that $400,000? Because
still get paid there.
Yeah, because the other party may not want it to go ahead.
But if they cancel the contract, which is unlikely because governments are continuous.
Okay.
You still get paid out if you void the contract without cause.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the one thing you have to realize, too. If you
committed
to doing this job and you signed the contract, if you decide not to do it, you got to pay me.
Okay.
Because especially if I already engaged in the contract, I mobilized. Right. Hey, I already made some movements and commitments and what's not. And they'll settle it.
Okay.
They wouldn't have to pay the whole thing, but they'll have to settle it.
Yeah, okay.
But interesting things happen in construction. So we have to always be aware, okay, what's happening with the weather. I don't think people understand the way we wake up in the morning.
Looking at the weather.
We wake up in the morning, you go and brush your teeth. We wake up in the morning and figure out, what's the weather going to be like
today?
Yeah,
is it going to rain? Because
at 5:30, we're making a decision.
Do I bother pick up that sheetrock in my truck without a cover?
Exactly.
You know?
The life of a contractor. And then we talk about it in the show. We talk in shop.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Check the weather. Okay, the weather's good. If the weather's not so great, now you're making a decision. What? So do I pick up the supplies this morning?
Right.
Is it going to rain? if I have guys coming to work on the outside, do I call them and say, you know, the weather doesn't look favorable, let's call off for the day? Because if you get them out there, you're going to pay them regardless of whether you do work or not.
Right.
So you have to make decisions, real business decisions, as a contractor. And yeah. So I want people to be careful when they choose this line of work. Because it's not something you go into flippingly. You just don't.
It's not for the faint of heart.
It's not. It's for people who have to understand there's a lot of moving parts in construction.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of moving parts. I saw something interesting, and we're talking about small parts of construction now, because it's election season. Everywhere there's billboards going up, right? So the guys, them, are doing this at night. They got spotlights out there, planting poles and stuff at night. So in the morning when you come out, you're seeing the billboards. So this is construction now. It's still construction, but it's night construction.
Yeah.
I saw one of those 8x16 signs going up last night. Two nights ago to Coral Harbor Roundabout. It was about 9:30, 10. They had 12 people. Because it's the big signs. Full sheets of plywood, times four, the whole deal, propped up, set inside. So they were mixing cement. It was 9:30, 10 at night.
A lot of people don't understand that if you want, especially if renovations and stuff, right?
It's a lot of work.
If you want somebody to do a renovation for you, and you don't really want them to do it in the daytime when the staff is there, well, the only other option is nighttime.
That's the only option.
Or weekend. Mm-hmm. And nighttime and weekends are time and a half and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's that. Plus, if the guys have worked all day, do you really expect them to come in and work all night?
Night, exactly.
I mean, really?
No,
is that logical?
No human is going
to
be able to
do that. I'm not going to do that with I would never do that to my people.
No.
Never.
And so I also had an interesting conversation with my clients who left for holiday today. And I had to explain to them why. She said, "Will we just wait?" I said, "We're going to jackhammer your ground floor and your upper floor. You're going to be gone for 2 weeks. I think you'd want that to happen when you're not in the house."
Oh, definitely. The dust and the noise.
She just nothing about construction she understands. And she said, "Yeah, we're living here." So I said,
you got
to be living in the most noisiest dust bowl in the world. You can imagine a jackhammer going all day and you're living in the house.
And what's
going
to end up happening is you and your client will not be friends.
So I say, let's do this. You leave today. The holidays are on and tomorrow and next week. We start on Tuesday. And get the ground floor, try to get that done, and then we go upstairs. But the jackhammering, you will not hear that.
You're taking the tiles off.
Yeah, doing the tiling job.
Okay. Yeah.
We got a caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Hey, good day to both of you.
Yeah, how are you, man?
Hey, man, I bless. Listen, an observation. I observe that just like driving around and seeing construction jobs, that it seemed to have been taken over primarily by Haitians. Is that a correct observation, or I'm only looking at one part of this?
You're only looking at one part of it.
Secondly,
I can give comment to that after you finish. Go ahead.
Most of your employees, local Bahamians, or actually foreigners, and when I say foreigners, I know that would come down to be Haitian, not discriminatory, I'm just calling it nationality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question I have. And then, you know, What are we looking at for the construction industry for the future? And again, I don't blame them. I don't blame. It just seems that Bahamians have kind of moved away from this, and then that opened the door for the Haitians to kind of take over. And so I'm just wondering, because I look at it. I mean, even when I have jobs, many of them are offering their services to it, and I've hired some for sure. So. You know, and then in the sense, a lot of sense, Bahamians, just the Bahamians, the local guys, just don't seem to be faithful and committed, or they overprice it. And then, some of the challenges that I have observed.
Mm-hmm. My painter's been
what's your thoughts on that?
My painter's been with me for probably almost 20 years.
Say again?
My painter's been with me almost 20 years. He's a Bahamian. My carpenter's a Bahamian. My electrician's a Bahamian. My plumber's a Bahamian. My pace man is a Bahamian. He does have a French last name, but he is a Bahamian. Who else do I have? My garbage pickup and demolition guy is Bahamian. Mm-hmm. My tile guys are all Bahamian.
Is that a deliberate attempt on your part? I mean, explain that to me, or these are guys who've just always
used, yeah.
Well, I try to find persons that understand that it's not just a job. Mm-hmm. When you're in construction, you are building something that is your own reputation, because the work that you do mm-hmm. will show what you can or cannot do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have anybody work with me and do something that I know is going to be so shabby that I will be so embarrassed and we'll have to redo it in the middle of the night because I don't want anybody to even know that it's happened.
In the middle of the night.
Well, you know what I'm saying, right? So
caller, mm-hmm. And Debbie, not to cut you off, I think the reality of the situation, to your observation, and I made this publicly to the Minister of Immigration before, about 40 to 50% of all workers in the country in the general workforce is Bahamian of Haitian descent. Mm-hmm. I would say that. I don't know the status, whether they're legal or illegal, but mm-hmm. they are the predominant persons showing up every day looking for work. Mm-hmm. Bahamians, we do have quite a number of Bahamians still in construction, probably mm-hmm. On the lower percentile of 35 to 40%, and they're generally engaged with the big and the large contractors. But in the small construction space, mm-hmm. the most available labor is probably, if not Bahamians of Haitian descent, but Haitians, because they are looking for work actively mm-hmm. every day. And I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great day. Same to you,
anytime.
Man.
Anytime. Have a good Easter.
We got an next caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I call with the way in the same concern that the first gentleman just called mm-hmm. in about, I mean, me being a local contractor as well.
Mm-hmm. What has your experience been? Let me ask you. You're in the industry like us. What has been, you start a job, you're coming out of the ground. You're looking for people to work. Tell us who's going to come to your site looking for a job.
Predominantly, it's going to be the people of Haitian descent.
Okay.
Whether they can speak English or not, they all still have documents to say that they are Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was an incident earlier this year on one of the capital projects over on the Royal Caribbean Island
mm-hmm.
where there was an issue where the Bahamian guys got holed up and said, this set of work was for some particular set of people, so y'all go home until we could find something for y'all to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there was an issue where the immigration got involved later on down. And what happened was the owners, the contractors, the main contractors, which are also Indians, they said that, hey, we did not hire any illegal immigrants.
Mm.
Or, you know, we give the job to a Bahamian, and he hired.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who the immigration took, he hired them. So it's a thing now. Even right there inside, the subdivision off Malcolm Road, Kennedy Sub.
Kennedy Subdivision, yeah.
Yeah, you have little bank jobs with renovation homes and mm-hmm. that. You have a Mexican doing those.
Mm-hmm.
There was another big project within Big Star Key. That means some guys are checking on. They give the job to Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So
they're
pushing us out. It's not that we don't want to work. They're pushing us out of the industry because the Bahamians getting the bigger capital jobs, and then they are bringing in the cheaper labor.
Yeah,
they're bringing in the cheaper labor and pushing us out.
And pushing
us. We constantly having to hear that the Haitians charging us cheaper. Or, you know, it's like we cannot bring our family to the Bahamas.
That's a misconception.
That is when we hear your concern,
Well, that might be a negotiating tactic.
Yeah. That may be a negotiating tactic.
I understand.
That's what we always have to battle with.
Yeah.
Yeah. We understand it from the other aspect. Yeah. We understand it from the larger jobs that come in, and what they do is they bring in their own people from their own country.
Countries.
And we don't even get an opportunity to sweep a floor.
Yeah.
So we understand it from a different level.
We're shut out too. And your observations is valid. I mean, mm-hmm. we see that we have large projects, and the contracting firm may be a Bahamian contracting firm, and they bring in a lot of expertise, they say,
on that particular capital job,
Mexican
had,
or German or whoever.
Who do the scaffolding, who picking up garbage,
mm-hmm.
they all were Indian, Mexican, like different, from different countries.
Nationalities, yeah.
Regular labor, mm-hmm. Bahamians can do.
Mm-hmm.
If I could make one recommendation, though, to anybody listening out there, that if, you know, I'm not xenophobic or whatever, but I will not have anybody on my job that does not understand English.
Because that's a dangerous situation.
Because if I have to give instructions as to what needs to be done,
you got
to
be able to understand.
I am going to tell you what I need you to do, mm-hmm. and you have to tell me back what I said. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Because there's no sense in me. I can't leave you to do something, and I'm going to come back later, and
something else is done.
It wasn't done, and it has to be redone a thousand times. I can't do it.
Well, the ones who do this, they're ahead of that. What they do is they find someone who could speak English and speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
They always bring people, put them in charge of them, and just correspond with mm-hmm. them to do what they need to have done. What I wanted to find out is the Contractors Association, where are they stance on this? You know, what it is, we have governments after administration talk about capital projects. Whenever those capital project contractors are given out, they're given out equal amount of work permits to do all of those works. So it's like they say these are Bahamian jobs, but there's not true. Bahamians will never get higher on those big jobs.
This is, we'll call it, this is election season. And I like to hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, I don't think we scream loud enough for what we want as mm-hmm. a construction community.
No.
I, with the exception of the U.S. Embassy, I think carte blanche that every construction project must be done by Bahamian construction firms in conjunction with an international firm. I understand that you can have the international expertise.
I think so,
but
too.
But to hear a construction company, we hear the name, mm-hmm. that has nothing to do with the Bahamas.
Because they're not
some
even,
international
they're
firm.
Not even, they're, not even
doing the work.
They're not even registered in this country.
Like,
and the money in this country. So what's the point?
Yeah,
they're
going to
bring all
possible?
The material in. They're going to pay all their staff outside of the country.
Yeah,
no money stays
possible?
In the country.
Yeah.
How is our government ever going to make anything if this is... If
they,
but... Hey, listen.
Well, work permit.
Where
work
did
permit
it come
is a
from?
Good job. They make money off work permit, and then personal inside, they make a little under the table. But one last thing I can say.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a gentleman called Calvin Farquharson. You remember him?
Calvin Farquharson?
Calvin Farquharson.
Calvin Farquharson.
Yeah.
Remember, like elephant.
Yeah.
He was the guy over the Paradise Island area.
Mm-hmm.
Always tell everyone these jobs are Bahamian jobs. That's one.
Oh, gosh, I know who you mean now.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you come over there and you speak it, you can't speak English properly, he said, listen, buddy, these are Bahamian jobs. If there's no other Bahamian can work, then we might consider you.
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
know? So that man,
going to
say,
those
I
days.
I do
right
remember
now,
yeah,
him.
Going to those days.
You know, I do hot remember
talk
him.
To him. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Caller, thank you for contributing to the show and let us know you feel. I'll tell you, you're not alone in this.
No.
Contractors have been complaining and lamenting and talking about what we'd love to see different,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is the time you make your local representative know that, hey, if things is not well for us, we mm-hmm. want more work, we want more work that we should be getting,
mm-hmm.
and we want greater participating in work, and we'd like you to make decisions that benefit us.
Yeah.
Again, the BCA does as much as we can to advocate and talk about it, but again, if we don't have the voices of the community behind
Thank
us
you.
Echoing our concerns,
mm-hmm.
it's only a few of us making noise, but we certainly... Right. Appreciate your call, and we
yeah.
certainly want you to continue observing and making comments.
Yeah, and have a good Easter.
Yeah. Debbie, got a next text message from my good texter. Text message reads, what's the mixture ratio of sand, white cement, and lime used for finish work? Now that's a very open question. Because what quantity are we talking about?
Yeah.
Ratios determine quantity. Now, if you're talking about a small batch, where you're talking about, we're making finished lime. So, I mean, the standard ratio, again, for consistency that I typically use, it'll generally be 5 sand, 1 bag of lime. You're never going to go wrong with that. If you do 5 sand and 1/2 bag of lime, it's too sandy.
Mm-hmm.
If you do 5 bags of sand, 1 bag of lime, you get a good consistency and about 1/2 bag of cement.
White cement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you put too much cement, it's going to dry up fast and you won't have
right.
time to work it. If
yeah.
you put
but you gotta sieve
too
it really...
little cement, it's going to take a long time, plus it won't have the strength you need. So
yeah.
when we talk about these ratios, these are just what we call rule of thumb ratios, but you could actually go online and it'll give you the actual mixed measured portion ratio. But we got the music coming on, so we got to take our break. Yeah.
Already?
We're gonna take a break. Yeah, let's take our first break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
And now a word from your local Sherwin-Williams Paints family.
We were taught that we must communicate with the customers so that we can give them the right product that they need, not just because you are make a sale. We make it a point to ask questions so that we can make your project that day effective. Do it right the first time.
That's the truth.
But that's how we is.
That's how we is.
Not a joke.
No joke at all.
Sherwin-Williams Bahamas. Find color in every day.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
Hey, go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. I still have to paint it. Still cost you money. For more information, call Odd Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back to Guardian 96.9, Nail It, and we're having a fantastic show, and we just want to thank everyone for tuning in and calling in. It's good to hear the contractors in the space participating in this conversation and adding value, so it's not just me and Debbie all the time. It's other contractors experiencing and talking about the experience. And again, we see it too. I'll tell people all the time. And so when I made the comment, and I think this was probably about last year around March, April, I got friends on both sides, all sides, I don't have a side, when it comes to construction. And I talked about it. I talked about what I see. Now, you could tell me anything. What you can't tell my eyes is what I see. I often say this, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to get preachy with other things. You have to be careful what you ask me to believe, because I'm going to look. Mm-hmm. Now, once my eye sees what does not line up what you want me to believe, then I'm off the train. Mm-hmm. I guess why the logic in me is just going to disconnect. I'm not there. So if I walk to 10 sites and I go to site A, site B, C, and D, and I go into wherever they are, and I do a man count and say, okay, there's 10 guys in the site, and 8 of the 10 guys are French-speaking, mm-hmm. and right to work, mm-hmm. and of Haitian descent, but Bahamian. Okay, and I go to the next site, and there's 7 guys who are the same way, and I go to another site, and I go to 10 sites. That's going to be a pretty strong case for a 60 to 70% of the industry in that space
right.
is dominated by that group of people.
Right.
When I said that, originally, there was objection. There was, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's always making these absurd. Until the minister of immigration.
Oh, and Mr. Bell came to our luncheon.
Came to luncheon, yeah, mm-hmm. and reiterated exactly what I said. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to argue with the participant in the space. You don't, because it's silly for you to do so. The same way I tell people all the time when they, oh, no, I could get this 4,000-square-foot house built for $150,000. I said, we do this all day. It's not going to happen. Yeah. I don't care. You could say that all day. You could feel you're very confident you could do it, but you can't argue with the people who do it every day. Because they know exactly what they're talking about, and you're guessing. Until I said that on the show, I would bet, and I would bet money, and I'm not a betting man, 98% of the population did not know the cost of a cinder block. They did not know
right.
it is $3.06.
Right.
Not unless you checked. Why would you check? You're not in the industry to check. You're a homeowner. You're going driving home, and you think block. I had someone talk the other day. He said, yeah, I want to do my block wall. What are blocks today? $2? I said, blocks have been $2 from 1985. It's 2026. What world are you living in? He said, I don't know. I said, exactly. You don't know. So what you should do is you should ask, call the block plant and say, I'm thinking about doing a wall project. What is the cost of an 8-inch block? And right. they'll tell you.
And this isn't secret information
here. Mm-hmm. And how much is a bag of cement? Debbie, we're building things 5 and 7 years ago. A bag of cement was $11.95. I still have invoices. Mm-hmm. I said $11, $12 for a bag of cement. What's a bag of cement the last time you bought a bag of cement?
Oh, I haven't, but maybe $20, $22.
19 something.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on where you get it. Some
you, pieces. You got a. And so a part of the business of construction, as I tell people all the time, weekly or every month, call around like what Debbie does. Mm-hmm. And I do things on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And I keep it every day. If I find something different, clink, I put it in my spreadsheet. So now that price moved from $2.67 to $3.06. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to update your spreadsheet, or else
constantly. You're going to
be estimating a job wrong because you have the wrong data. And bad data in, bad data out.
And I think all of us have had one experience where we've all done that. And that's when you learn the hard way.
Turned out horribly.
But I'll tell you what, I don't ever want to learn the hard way ever again.
Turned out horribly.
Never, yeah.
All right, let me ask somebody a general question in the public. What do you think the cost of 20 yards, is it 20 yards? Yeah, 20-yard truck, a P-Rock.
P-Rock? Oh, that would be expensive. I don't know, $600?
Ha! $1,100, Debbie.
No.
$1,100.
See, I do renovations, so I
you don't ever need to use. Yeah.
No.
So all these people that we're talking about, I can do my driving. I just put P-Rock over my driveway. It's $1,100. Wow. When I did a project before, it was $600 a truckload. It's $1,100 now.
Wow.
Debbie, it's $1,100.
See, I use rice rock in my garden, right? So I buy the bags
of
that.
Yeah, but that's small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, you think $3 or $4, that's not much. But until you have to buy 20 yards of it, then you say, holy crap.
Yeah,
you
know? Now it's a lot. So I encourage people today, mm-hmm. do a little bit of humor before you start mm-hmm. calling your contractor names mm-hmm. and thinking, oh, you want to try to get rich off me. People are trying, these contractors are trying to do the best they can to make these things happen.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work.
And I'll say, listen, I do everything in QuickBooks, right? Mm-hmm. and I love it because I love it for data. So I do my estimating on Excel. Then I transpose that into QuickBooks, right? Why I do it in QuickBooks is because I could click on a button and say, run this as a project. And what it does income versus as compared expenses. To expenses. And it tells you your profitability. So a project I did before, the profitability was 1.8%. I had another project where the profitability was like 37%. That was a good commercial project. That's a good project. 37% overall cost on $400,000 worth of work was a good day. Yeah, 37%.
Like
then I had another project, which was, so on aggregate, I'm really running between a 1% margin to a like a 7% margin across 20 jobs. This idea that people have that we're making 20 and 30% on their house is fictitious.
Yeah, that would
it's
be
fictitious.
That would be great if we did.
Yeah, it's fictitious. That's not the reality.
Yeah.
It's fictitious.
Mm-hmm.
So please give contractors some grace. They're not out here buying McLarens off your project. They're sometimes barely getting it across the line.
Even renting some kinds of equipment, you know? Oh, the price for like a payloader for a day or an excavator for a day
or
a backhoe or a bobcat because you've got a small area.
Yeah, and you want to compact it.
Oh, my gracious piece. Things are so expensive.
Things are expensive.
And sometimes you're doing a job and you don't, well, I don't know. I'm doing a quote, and then I start doing the job, and I think, holy crap, I didn't consider that.
I
didn't consider this. Yeah. Oh, Lord, how am I going to do this? What can I finagle? How can I make this work? And you try to think about
everything.
Scenario. When you're doing a quote, you got to think of every scenario. What's the weather going to be like? Is it going to rain often? Are we going to have flooding? Are we going to have any holidays? I mean, all those things that you have to think about. And you don't always think about them.
No.
You know, it might be a different, you know, if you're doing 10 jobs and they're all been very similar, then you're golden, mm-hmm. right? But if you got all of a sudden get one that's so different and you don't have proper access, so you have to use a crane for everything. And there's so many, mm-hmm. so many things that you don't
think about.
It's crazy.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
And what you don't think about too, is that you have to manage people.
Yes.
You have to manage people. What happens on the day your carpenter isn't feeling well? You needed something to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a human. He's not feeling well. He didn't come out. So the rest of the work that's dependent on him didn't happen.
Well, and also the
plumber,
person that follows
son
that.
Had to go to recital or graduation or something. It's not just us.
But if the carpenter doesn't show up, then the painter wouldn't be able to work because every trade follows another
trade.
And people don't, you know, the average person doesn't
like that.
Understand that.
Yeah.
You know, you need is one person and the whole thing is a big hiccup.
Yeah. So, and this is the dynamics. Mm-hmm. I always tell people that I love the beauty of construction and our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Our knowledge is invaluable because we go into the experience. So we're talking about this house retiling project, right? And they got 3,400 square foot of tile.
Oh, that was the one that...
Yeah, 32
by
32
tiles, they had to take
up
because
right?
they didn't use the right thin set.
Right, exactly. So we were redoing the tile for them as a project.
Oh, Lord.
Cool. So now you say, okay, I want you, Mr. Sands, I want you to go get the tiles and stock them in the house. I say, do you know how much space of your house I'm going to take up with...
One entire room.
3,200 square foot of tiles?
Yeah. That's about 6-7 pallets.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I say, no, what we need to do, because I say, I want you to make sure you just get them and bring them. I say, no, they're my friends. And that's the tile. They're going to keep them for me. But what I need to do is demo and get the stuff out.
Right.
Then I could start to bring stuff in.
Yeah.
If I put the stuff in, then I can't
demo.
Have
to work around it. And then how, you can't get a forklift in the house
later. No. I like,
you know.
But again, so we smile because we understand that they don't understand what we call in construction, the logistics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, they're in a small lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a small lot. You got to try to figure out how to get the debris in and out, how to store the tiles. So I'll tell you what, when we complete the demo,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my good friend Cristobal a call and say, hey, I'm sending a flat truck. He's going to pick up the tiles,
right.
And then we're going to stage them in XYZ. But they don't help me. during demo.
No.
So I don't need to even see them right now.
No.
Like, oh, well, I just think you just wanted everything to be on site. Yeah, but we don't have that kind of site. We don't have the room.
So last weekend I was looking for handrails, you know, the kind that you attach onto the wall mm-hmm. as you go up the stairs and that kind of stuff. Well, almost every store has the handrails, but they don't have brackets. They don't have
the end pieces. They have the end pieces. Have,
so, I mean, I had to, this is absolutely insane. I had to buy the brackets to go on the wall, and then I had to get the brushed because everything else in the job is brushed, mm-hmm. right? And so I got a pack of six, which was, I don't know, $16, mm-hmm. right? I had to order it from Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
And
that's a good thing.
Funnily enough, it reached today, mm-hmm. and it got delivered today and went to my daughter's house in her package that was coming from the same
supplier person
that we have
yeah.
in the States, that Shelley's sister, mm-hmm. who does all of our stuff
shipping
for us,
and
right? Yeah.
And
stuff. Oh, so, yeah, why isn't the railing up? Well, because unless I tape it up with duct tape.
You didn't have the brackets.
And then I thought.
And no one sells brackets here.
No.
Which you can't understand, where it's a two-part system. Why would you only sell the handrail and not the brackets?
Well, we ran out. We haven't ordered. Well, what's the point of having the handrails then?
Without the brackets, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, these are the kind of things that drive me absolutely nuts.
And it's unforeseen.
It's totally unforseen.
When you told them you'd be finished,
go
you
in and I see,
have known.
I see all the curly Q things and the spindles. Well, I'm not doing that kind of hysteria.
Yeah.
I'm doing like a wall thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't possibly even have this huge inventory.
And no brackets. You would never think that. So these are the normal goings on in construction.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, it's a fantastic space to be in.
I love it.
But it is very dynamic. Mm-hmm. Things change and happen every day.
Yeah.
But to go into something what the caller said, you're talking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
There are glimmers of hope, glimmers and hope in some programs that I want to say on air need more involvement from the Contractors Association, PTVI, and the construction community, which they have a part of it. But to be very, very honest, it's still not enough in terms of, one, the scale mm-hmm. and the intention. Now, the directors of the program have the desire to deliver the product that serves the public, the young people, the best. But
things that we've talked about today would never be talked about in that
no,
classroom.
No, and that's the thing, too. And then
that's the reality.
So there's some fine-tuning needed. Mm-hmm. And then I don't want to get into political space about it, but we're in this space, right? We're in this space. And I tell people all the time, you have to be careful when you present programs to people who are professionals in this space. I hear the upskill program that they're running, and I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be a certified project manager in a week.
What?
What
would that take? Normally a year, at least?
Yeah, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I met a person who finished that and said now they want a job. And I'm like, you could not begin to shop that resume around and be looked at seriously when the content of that material was a week.
But they were given the understanding from the teachers and the establishment that this would actually be the case, which
yeah.
is, you know,
it's
you can't.
It's not true.
Yeah, you can't.
It's
you can't,
not true.
You can't sell the wrong product.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so. So I say this to the people who are, I think they're well-intentioned,
mm-hmm.
but they have to talk to industry more earnestly rather than just coming up with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could teach someone how to swim in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I could teach someone how to lay block in a week. I could teach you how to paint. I can't teach you how to think like a project manager
mm-hmm.
in 7 days. It's not possible.
No, because you
it's
have to.
It's not possible.
You have to. I mean, just thinking from just the clearing of the property, getting the materials, working with all the different trades that you have to work with, making sure that it all works in synergy. It's all got to work in a path. It's very challenging.
And then
you've got it. You basically have to have your chart and work it out. Okay, this is when the job has to end. This is when we're starting. How are we going to do this, right?
None of that. It lacked content. So
yeah.
I asked a young person, I said, Have you ever created a construction schedule? Let's say I give you a house to do. I need you to give me the construction schedule before we start because we need something to track our progress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't do that. Okay, you didn't do that. Did he teach you how to estimate the cost of the house? No, we didn't do that. Okay. Did they tell you the many different type of building systems there are? No, we didn't do that. And I go into this, I asked him 10 questions. We didn't do that. So I just asked, what did you do then? Mm-hmm. Because it was a shorter path than where I was going with it. And I don't say this to sound derogatory of it, but I'm saying if you're going to equip people to come and offer themselves, make sure there's content. Make sure it's something real.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to pull up to Debbie and say, I want to be your site manager, and you don't know the difference between a framing hammer and a finish hammer. Mm-hmm. You're not going to fool her. And you're not going to fool Mr. Wrinkle. You're not going to fool the Wolseley. You're not going to fool anyone with this paper. They're going to ask you real questions, which comes from either knowledge or experience. And you can't bluff that.
And we as a contractors association do not want persons to fall on their face.
No,
we don't want persons
that.
Who want to be in the industry to be trained
properly,
so that they can actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
have
it's not
their
the,
clients.
It's not to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to the organizers mm-hmm. and of this, please talk to the contractors association before you prepare these things and then run these programs, would happen to be in spaces that construction dominate without talking to construction professionals.
Right.
So we could give you guided information on how you prepare a course mm-hmm. that would actually be helpful. Now, let me just close the show
on
this.
You can have us come and talk at one of their classes.
Let me tell you a course which they should run, and we had a music coming on.
Mm-hmm.
How to dress for construction. Mm-hmm. is a course that the government should run in high schools. And if a guy showed up to my site, properly dressed, boots, hard hat, vest, tool belt, I'll make a job for him. Because
mm-hmm.
something tells me he's prepared to learn based on the level of preparation I see.
Right.
But if the guy comes to me on day one on a construction site with a resume in hand, tennis shoes, church pants, I like to call them, or slippers, or sandals, no safety vest. He doesn't know what a hard hat is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, man, I come to work in construction. I'm saying, your entire life, you have never thought about doing this as a career because you didn't come day one prepared to do this.
Yeah.
And that's where all these things we're doing prepare people for the industry to go in. And I want to close by this. The National Training Agency is great. But when I see that space, that's training people to work in hotel, the other things, that's not training people to work outside in the sun.
No.
That's not training people to move equipment. And there needs to be nationally, and this is a political time, I'm telling you, there needs to be nationally a training center for construction. Because how we move about construction mm-hmm. is not moving up in a black pants and white shirt and sitting down in a classroom and listening to people. That's not how we do construction.
Right.
Construction is a practical application.
Right.
It's out there, touching, feeling, knowledge. And I wish people would understand the years and years and years of training and exposure that Debbie went through to know what she knows. And the years I went through to know. It's experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's experimental. And you have to touch and feel it.
Yes.
Take this out of the classroom and let young people touch construction. I guarantee they'll love it. But you got to break that mold of teaching it in the classroom.
Right.
The gentleman said it before we go. Now, the gentleman talked about we don't have the Heyman Masons anymore.
That's true.
We don't have them.
That was the only, my Mason is actually, he's
yeah.
Bahamian,
yeah.
but he is a Haitian descent.
Yeah, mine is too,
yeah.
and everyone's is. You know
yeah.
why? Because they still train masonry in Haiti.
Yeah.
We don't do it here.
And they actually, better themselves when
yes.
they're doing a job.
And they will follow
your guidance.
You will look at the voids and figure out why we don't have them. We don't have them because we got to train them. And I'm not knocking on B2BI.
No.
I know we
got
to go.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make this thing national. We're really going to do this. And I want 1,000 young people in masonry.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Make it free. I don't want an application for
just,
it. Just say, I want to do it.
It's not just laying a block and putting finish on. There's stonework and everything.
Everything. The whole deal.
Yeah.
And I said, let's take the encumbrances. I got a young person. I saw the application form to go to BDVI. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
The person wants to work in construction, not write a financial plan.
Wow.
Just the application.
Wow.
I'm like, it's onerous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fill that out.
No.
So, anyhow.
Yeah.
This has been a fantastic show.
It has. But hang on. We got to talk about our sponsors for the show.
We didn't mention that several times.
We have ART Development, which is the fiberglass rebar.
Yeah. Named after his daughters.
Yes. Named after his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Paint Place.
Paint Place.
We have Sherwin-Williams.
We have Trusco.
CBS Bahamas.
We have Trusco.
And Trusco.
We have Simplified Group of Companies.
Right. And Bahamas Safety Solutions.
And Bahamas Safety Solutions.
Yes.
Yeah. And Closets,
et cetera. Sponsored one
Superior
hour.
Walls.
Yes.
And Superior Walls. So
yes.
We got a ton of sponsors, and we're very excited and thank all of them. And that's it for our show. And please enjoy the rest of your Easter.
Yes. Have a great Easter. Yeah. And be safe. Please be safe.
Baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. And now it's the two of us again, against the wind, when it rains.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside,
I see the sunshine, I see a new day.
I know just what to do. Go to the Paint Place.
So if you wanna paint it right the first time, go to the Paint Place. The Paint Place.
And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the Paint Place. Stop at the Paint Place.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points when purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
I go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9522. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
Main purpose for a lot of customers coming in and out these doors is because of the relationship built with them. Once they're comfortable, they could relate to me better.
We don't only sell paint, we sold people.
Some customers need extra patience.
Whatever your paint or patience needs, the entire Sherwin-Williams Paints team are ready to show you some good customer service. Sherwin-Williams Bahamas.